Firstly, let me express my special thanks and gratitude to Billionaire Tomorrow for inviting me to share my experience as an entrepreneur in Africa with the august readership of this esteemed publication. I hope I'll be able to do justice to this great privilege and honor. I'm also hoping that my experience will not only resonate with other successful business people in Africa, but more importantly, it will also provide inspiration to some of the budding entrepreneurs to become billionaires through investing in Africa. At the outset, I wish to dispel a common myth and perception that success in Africa is entirely dependent upon good luck and fortune, and who you know rather than what you know. This is far from reality in my own experience. Of course, like everywhere else in the world, and not only in business, but in other endeavors, such as sports or as an artist, you need luck to achieve success, but you also have to create your own luck through hard work and perseverance. It may come as a surprise to many that I work between 12 to 14 hours a day, quite often, including weekends. I sincerely believe that Africa still offers a lot of lucrative and exciting business opportunities. There are challenges as well, perhaps as expected, greater than what you might experience in the developed or industrialized world. However, if one is willing to take a calculated risk, be committed, determined, and ready to persevere with a decent dose of patience, then the returns are also pretty handsome compared to the developed world. I want to emphasize at this juncture that you do need patience, and so please do not expect to double your investment in a year or so. You can achieve higher returns and your investment can double faster than in Europe or America, but you need to give it time. Having made the general comments above, let me give a little bit of background about myself and share some of the successes in various business ventures and an insight into why and how these were achieved. I was born in Uganda in 1956, but in 1972, together with my parents, we had to relocate to the United Kingdom following the expulsion of Asians by the then President Idi Amin. As a teenage refugee in London at the tender age of 16, I once had to sleep on Ilford High Street in Essex, London, in severely freezing conditions. This was enough to inspire me to take up a job in a London bakery, where I had to pick hot donuts out of the fryer and inject jam into them whilst they were still hot. Even the red burning hands did not stop me from returning to work the next day. I also started driving a taxi in the evenings and at night, so working 2 to 3 jobs, I had saved enough to buy my first house in London at the age of 20. However, Africa is in my blood, and hence, in 1985, I returned to Kampala with just $25,000, which I started investing with my wife, Jotna, in several greenfield ventures. So initially, in a trading business, importing and selling products such as beer, salt, and whatever I felt had a good demand or was in short supply. Now, this trading led me into the Forex business, and in my humble opinion, this business thrived due to my integrity, which created confidence within my clientele. They knew that they could entrust me with their funds, and these would get transferred to virtually anywhere in the world in the shortest time possible. I learned that it is crucial never to let your customers down. Whatever challenges you may encounter, as they say, the customer is king, and if we treat them as kings, you gain their loyalty for years. So many of my customers from those days are still my clients and or business associates. Some are my tenants, some my suppliers, some are also borrowers, forging such long-term relationships in one of the major criteria for success in business. The success in the Forex and trading business allowed me to build sufficient capital to start investing in real estate. I had the confidence, despite many doubters at the time, including international media, in the future of Uganda. Hence, my objective was that always been to continue investing in the Ugandan economy rather than exporting the profits generated to the developed world. Had I behaved like a short-term investor without the conviction and belief in the prospects and opportunities in Uganda, I would never have been able to build the business empire I have now created. That is not to say that it's been plain sailing for me, not at all. I've also encountered several setbacks, including relying on a forged land title amongst the first property transaction I carried out, However, I treated these setbacks as learning experiences, some of which were quite expensive lessons. But to achieve success as an entrepreneur anywhere, including in Africa, you need drive, perseverance, commitment, determination, vision, and patience too. I continue to invest the cash flow generated from my business instead of resorting to borrowing, mainly in the service sectors such as financial services, hospitality, education, commercial and residential real estate development. I had set myself benchmarks that would invest in a business or property that would have a payback period of 5 years or less. I would only invest in a venture that had a longer payback period. If the venture had other attractive spin-offs, such as a new sector like rose farming or agriculture, these are sectors in which Uganda has competitive advantages. I do not intend to enumerate all the different businesses, ventures, which my family and I have interests in, as these can easily be accessed from various social media platforms. I feel that the readers will benefit more from the outline of some of the specific challenges one encounters in Africa and how we have overcome the same. In no particular order, one should be mindful of these following challenges. Number one, there is limited infrastructure such as roads and internal rail transport, which can create logistical challenges with the consequence of increased cost of doing business. This is now not so acute as when I first started investing here in Uganda, as the current NRM government is promoting private sector growth. It's prioritizing infrastructure development in roads, railways, communications, and energy. Number two, there is a lack of skilled and trustworthy workforce. Hence, one may have to rely on expatriate labor, and this again adds cost of operating, as expatriate labor is more expensive and the immigration costs are also increasing. This at a time can create inefficiencies. One needs to pay attention to recruiting the best people around. We've always ensured that we recruit the best from both within Uganda as well as from abroad for certain specific categories. In order to overcome this specific challenge, we have also created very sound internal controls and a very robust and stringent administration systems. In Uganda, the interest rates on bank borrowing are very high, mainly as a result of the high percentage of non-performing loans that the banks suffer, as well as due to public sector borrowing requirements, which push up the interest rates on government securities. Accordingly, if one is to rely on raising bank funding to fund investments, then the high borrowing costs have to be taken into account. In most businesses, the margins are adequate to cover the high interest rates, provided, of course, that the gearing is within manageable and acceptable levels. Number four, it would be remiss of me if I do not mention the incidence of bribery and corruption. One can say that this vice is prevalent in all sectors, and some businessmen even consider this as an opportunity. We do not condone this practice, and that is another reason why we have strong controls at administration systems. Now, in my view, the above are common challenges that one is likely to encounter in any developing country. It is then a question for each investor to stack these against the opportunities and rewards available and seek appropriate advice from professionals and fellow business people. One other key ingredient in our success, I believe, is our philosophy of continuous investment in the business projects undertaken. We never acquire a building, business, or project and let it run in the same condition we found it in. We have made major improvements to all our buildings, be they schools, hotels, apartments, shopping malls, rose farms, you name it. In my view, this also enhances confidence of all your stakeholders, customers, employees, suppliers, and government as well. Now, in conclusion, I would like to emphasize that Africa is a continent of opportunities where the middle class is growing and most governments are promoting private sector-led growth and enabling environment through investment in infrastructure as well as providing an appropriate policy framework. But please do not expect overnight returns.